This morning, a couple of titles of the message. One is, what does God have to do to get our attention? What does God have to do to get our attention? The other one, three gardens and two earthquakes. So you decide which one you would like. Three gardens and two earthquakes. Can I invite you in your mind to travel with me a little bit? We won't go to every text for sake of time, but point number one this morning is garden one. God began by creating a special garden. He created the garden of what? Eden. That's how he began the world in which we live. Garden of Eden. For some time, the Bible indicates that God walked and talked with those early humans by the name of Adam and Eve. For some time, maybe. We don't know. Days for sure, weeks, likely months, possibly. He looked forward to it. They looked forward to it. A daily walk and talk with God. Wow. The harmony, the unity, the closeness, the fellowship between the creature and the creator. Something happened though, right? Something was done in that garden that brought separation from God being able to walk with man and woman. What was it? Sin. Sin brings separation, just guaranteed, at multiple levels, the worst of all being between us and God. That's point number one, already done. Point number two this morning, this garden number two, the Garden of Gethsemane. Can we take our Bibles to Matthew 26? Matthew 26, let's begin looking at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Wow, these were the closest companions on earth to Jesus. He's pouring out his broken heart to them, asking them, please, to be there with him, you know, go through this time with him. They're representing us there when you think about it. And he went a little farther, fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. Now we know that that took place three times. He went and came back, went and came back, went and came back three times. Each time his dear friends, who he asked to be there for him and with him through in this struggle, they fell asleep. You say, Pastor, that doesn't say it's a garden. I'm glad you are staying awake. John chapter 19. John chapter 18, excuse me. Matthew didn't say it was a garden, but John lets us know that it was. John chapter 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, unto the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times, resorted thither with his disciples. Just like the Garden of Eden, where God walked with Adam and Eve, the Garden of Gethsemane was a place where Jesus walked with his disciples on a reoccurring basis. Probably whenever they were in the vicinity of Jerusalem, Bethany, they would frequent that blessed place to talk, to pray. This was the second garden. We know this is the place where Jesus was arrested. Judas, anticipating that Jesus would go there after the Last Supper meal, brings a group of guards and identifies who Jesus is, and we know that he was cuffed, so to speak, arrested, and taken away. Once again, the garden, because of sin, becomes a place of separation. For there he was with all his disciples, except for Judas. And in a strange, ironic way, Judas is actually there, isn't he? But he's on the other side. And once again, because of the actions of sinful beings, Christ is separated from his people. The Bible says all the disciples forsook him and fled from the garden. And Jesus told the guards, hey, I'm the one you're wanting, let these go. Separation in the Garden of Eden brought death to Adam. Separation in the Garden of Gethsemane brought death to what the New Testament calls the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Point number three this morning is earthquake number one. Earthquake number one was at Christ's death. Let's look in Matthew 27, please. When our family was in Guam, we had several climactic disasters, natural disasters, a couple of typhoons, and a couple of earthquakes. And 2001, that was October 12th, 2001, and April 26th, 2002, earthquakes there in Guam while we lived there. How many have ever been somewhere where an earthquake was going on? All right. Well, I can tell you, it gets your attention. We were asleep. It was the middle of the night, which is disorienting anyway. And all of a sudden, our building was going like this. It'd like to throw you out of bed. Our boys had a bunk bed at the time. And I got out of bed to go try to get to the kids' room. And I couldn't stand up. I had to crawl. It was that much of a shake. Things were beginning to rattle on the walls, things falling off shelves. New experience to me. I didn't keep on sleeping. I didn't just roll over and go, whatever. Now, I was like, should we be in this building? Should we get outside? Where are the children? You know, that sort of thing. It didn't last a super long time, thankfully. It did a lot of damage. The typhoons did a lot of damage. We were without power and water for over a month. And it got the attention of people. It truly did. And earthquakes have a way of doing that. I suppose if we had one right here in Wellsboro, it would be the talk of the town for a long, long time. Thus should have been true about the Savior when he hung on Calvary's cross, because there was an earthquake. Look at Matthew 27, starting in verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him. I don't know if you've ever had anybody spit on you, but in the culture of Jesus, where Jesus lived, that was the worst insult you could give. To spit on somebody said that you utterly despised their existence. Their own creator they were spitting in the face of. Anyway, hard to comprehend. They took the reed and smote him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross on the outside of the walls of Jerusalem. When they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. As we said this morning, he has been up all night. He has not eaten. He has not taken anything to drink. Been beaten several times by different groups. Passed all around the city to Annas, to Caiaphas, to Pilate, to Herod, back to Pilate. Then scourged, then beaten, and then crucified. Was Jesus a weak man? What do you think? How long could you have lasted, gentlemen? Not a weak man. Verse 35. And they crucified him. Boy, that's four words. The gospel writers are all gracious about not elaborating on that, because it'd be too dreadful to have in our sacred scriptures the actual things they do when they crucify somebody. So graciously, they are always succinct when they talk about it, the crucifixion. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. That's an important statement, because later on, the same group of people that are sitting down now to watch him are going to see some things and respond in ways that all mankind should, but unfortunately does not. Let's pray, shall we? Father, as we are at a very sacred and delicate point of history in this context, we dare not tread upon it carelessly, flippantly, absent-mindedly, Father. We want to attend with great devotion, honor, and respect. Please, Father, get our attention. Keep our attention, Father, and use our lives to help get the attention of others who are yet not prepared for death. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 37, set up over his head the accusation, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right, another on the left. They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. That means this. You know, as you might do looking at criminals, like, what a bunch of losers. But, of course, Christ had done nothing wrong, had he? And saying, thou hast destroyed the temple and buildest it. Thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself. The one that said that, supposedly. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Now we know if Christ had come down, we could never have gone up. But Christ stayed up so that we can go up with him. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes, elders, saying, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he had saved himself, he couldn't have saved us. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Would they? Would they? What more could he have done? What more could he do to get their attention? He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. What a slight. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. For a while, both thieves were this way. One had a change of heart while on the cross. What he began to see and hear changed his heart, and he was rescued from death, spiritual death, moments before his physical death by the grace of God. Now, verse 45, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land. The first hour of the day is 6 a.m., so the sixth hour is noon. Imagine noon is almost 20 minutes from now. Imagine at noon, the brightest time of the day normally, everything got dark. I don't mean cloudy. I mean dark. Would it get your attention? You'd think it would have gotten everyone's attention. It's going to be dark for the next 3 hours. I'm not saying pitch dark, but dark. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know that there was some separation because of sin, right? As God placed on his Son as the sacrificial lamb, all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, there was some separation felt there by Christ with his Father. Some of them that stood there, verse 47, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let's see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now, Jesus said 7 things or more in these events. You'd have to read all the gospel accounts to get all the statements that he made. But they all come to the conclusion at the end when Jesus yields his spirit up to his Father and dies. Then I want you to notice, folks, what happens after. This should have gotten the attention of people. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, remember verse 36, it said, sitting down, they watched him there. This same group that put him onto the cross and gambled over his clothes are being referred to here. It says, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Letter A underneath point three is what the centurion saw and those other soldiers. They saw darkness for 3 hours in the middle of a day. They saw an earthquake. They saw rocks splitting in half. They saw grave sites being shook up so that they were being opened. Now the people that were in them, the Bible says, they didn't come out until after Jesus rose from the dead. But they did. You have to remember, this is a weekend. This is a Jewish holiday weekend. And people weren't going to do much of anything until Sunday. And after Christ arose, some of the believers that had died in Christ's time came out of their open graves and walked back into the city and said hello to their loved ones. Would that have gotten your attention? Think of a loved one right now in your mind who died 5, 10 weeks or months ago, or in the last couple of years. If there was a knock on the door today, and there they were, would that seriously affect your attention? You might have dreamed about that one and woke up and think, oh, I just wish I could have them in my presence. But that happened. Those are things that people saw. What may be a point, or letter B, is what the centurion couldn't see. He could see the graves open, but that day he didn't see those people coming out of the grave, because that didn't happen until after Jesus rose from the dead. The other thing that they couldn't see was the veil in the temple, rending in half, because that was inside a building. You couldn't see that from where they stood outside of the walls of Jerusalem. You would have had to been inside the holy place, the sanctuary, to be able to have seen that. But that also happened at the same time. It's a true picture of Christ. Christ is there hanging between heaven and earth, between God and man, hanging like the veil hung in the temple, this large curtain, 60 feet high, very thick, very expensive to create, to make. And the Bible says, as his body was torn on, on the cross and died, that veil was torn from top to bottom, showing that God did the tearing. No man could have ever torn it. It was so thick, it was impossible to tear or to cut. But it was cut from top to bottom, this magnificent, expensive veil. Don't you know they set about raising funds to replace that as soon as they could? But why did God let that veil be rent in half? What did that mean? What did that show? Everything is getting opened up. The ground is opening up. The graves is opening up. The Holy of Holies is opening up. Because that's where that veil separated, between the holy place and the Holy of Holies inside the temple. Can I ask you to take your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9? Just to get a handle on this. Hebrews 9. The book of Hebrews is the best place to take a Jewish person to help them understand what the New Testament teaches in fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. They complement one another, and it was written specifically for Hebrew, for Jewish people, and so they'll understand more of it than you do. But in Hebrews chapter 9, you can begin in verse 1. It says, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary." Okay, we're talking about the temple, the worldly sanctuary. "There was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And the second, and after the second veil," there's the word, "the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all." So in this, there's the big courtyard that went around that people could come to. But the actual temple, no woman could go in the temple, period, ever. Okay? No woman, ever. Some few men could go in who were priests. But only one man, once a year, could go into the place behind the veil, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant, where the mercy seat was. Only one person, once in a year. Very restrictive, wasn't it, when you think about it? Until Christ came, the religious worship represented by Judaism, the first covenant, was very restrictive, showing how holy God was and how sinful man was, and how there wasn't a final way made possible to bring them together. But when Christ died, that veil was rent to show that access to God is now open. A way has been made to come into the very holiest, sacred place of God's presence. Jesus made that possible. Look at verse 6. It says, "When these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God." Notice it wasn't all men and it wasn't any women, just the priests. "But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people." If that high priest on that one day endeavored to enter the Holy of Holies without blood, he was a dead man. It was only because of the blood he was allowed to go in. As Jesus had his body rent, his blood shed, that was satisfied and that separation was removed. Praise the Lord. Look at chapter 10 and verse 19 and 20. It says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest," that means the Holy of Holies, that second compartment in the temple. You have boldness to enter there now. Why? "By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, his flesh. As his flesh was rent on the cross, the veil that represented was also rent. His blood made access to God's holy place available to all repentant believers in Christ. I noticed in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, Revelation 1 and verse 5, we can see why that is. For he says there, "From Jesus, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead." and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Why can we go to the place where only the priests could go before? Because we are what? Priests. Men and women. We've been made priests and kings because of Christ. Wow. Point number four this morning is garden number three. Can we take our Bibles to John 19? There was the Garden of Eden. Where God once walked and talked with Adam and Eve, but sin separated. There was the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus once walked and talked with his disciples, but sin separated. Now we come to garden number three in John chapter 19, verse 38. Jesus has died now, and a man named Joseph of Arimathea comes on the scene. It says in verse 38, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And took they the body of Jesus and wound it in the linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Literally within sight of the cross was the tomb that Christ was placed. In a garden setting, much like our modern day cemeteries that people will walk in and sit and meditate, think of their loved ones, put flowers. Very similar scene, our Savior was buried. These two men who were secret disciples now are becoming bold and recognizing they need to embrace who Christ was. Interesting enough, we won't turn there, but there is a fourth garden talked about in the Bible in the millennial reign of Christ, the thousand-year millennial kingdom in Ezekiel 38, 17 to 23. There will be a garden there as well. But our last point this morning is point five, and that is earthquake number two. The first earthquake was at Christ's death. The second earthquake at Christ's resurrection. Can we turn to Matthew 28? There was a earthquake in Anchorage, Alaska, some years back. I think it was 1976, on Good Friday. Interesting. This past February, 2023, we had a terrible earthquake here in Turkey, didn't we? 47,000 people died so far that they have found. It got the attention of whole nation, and in turn got the attention of the whole world. Many nations have sent people and supplies and monies to Turkey to help. Things that should have gotten the attention of people It sure did the centurion when Christ died. And it's going to get the attention of people here at the tomb in Matthew 28. Let's begin reading in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. Same word there. The earthquake and the shake that the guys were doing. The soldiers that were placed around the tomb to keep, allegedly, the disciples from going and stealing his body out and trying to say he rose from the dead. They put a whole band of soldiers there and sealed the tomb so that couldn't happen. They forgot to tell Jesus. He came out. The stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so that we could go in and see he wasn't there anymore. And when the angel came down to roll that stone away, there was an earthquake. And when those Roman soldiers saw the angels, they just went, fell on their backs. They came as dead men. It doesn't mean they died, but they were out of it. And then we know later they snuck away and got paid off to say that we all decided to take a nap, and then somebody came and stole the body away. Interesting. Interesting lie. Covered by money. Still going on today, isn't it? Lies being covered by money. Goes on to say here, verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Wow. What a great event. Can we bow our heads this morning, dear folks? Has God gotten your attention this morning? The things he endured in the three gardens and how it separated and changed relationships. But that was all overcome by the work of Christ. Identified by two markers called earthquakes, his death and his resurrection. It shook the spiritual world. Unfortunately, we're kind of dull of head and heart. And we don't let the most conspicuous and obvious things impact us sometimes. God help us. Don't enter another day, another week, another year without knowing for certain that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You can call out to him even now in prayer and say, Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I know it. And I can't save myself. And I want to be forgiven. I want to come to be with you in heaven. I believe you died for me. I believe you raised from the dead and went to heaven. And I want to come be there with you someday. Could you tell that to the Lord if you never have before? And be saved today and know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. It would be a great, great victory. In honor of this day. Heavenly Father, I pray you will work in the hearts of any and all who are not certain about their salvation. That because of the work of Christ on the cross, his victory over sin, death, and the grave, we too can follow him to heaven when we die. I pray you help any and all make that decision, Lord. And those of us who've made that decision, may we walk differently than those who don't know you. Walk as children of light, children of God. Be different with our values, our words, our attitudes, our outlook on life. Be people of joy and love and peace and goodwill. Our world desperately needs us to shine differently.